Welcome to this deep dive. We're looking at Fondamenti di Dinamica, Volume 1, specifically, the Reviewing Dynamics section.
That's right.
Our goal today is really to give you a shortcut, you know, a way to grasp how things move and interact all around us.
Yeah, basically.
What I find amazing is how these, like, universal rules govern everything, from planets down to just kicking a ball.
It is fascinating.
Okay.
And we want to show you how to spot these rules everywhere.
Okay, so where do we start?
Well, first we need to figure out how things move.
Yeah.
Just describing the motion itself.
Right.
So core ideas like displacement. It's not just how far you walked. It's the straight line from your start point to your end point.
Got it. Direction matters.
Exactly. And velocity, too. We'll cover both the average velocity over a trip and the instantaneous velocity, like your speedometer reading right now.
And you mentioned visualizing this.
Yes.
Yeah.
The space-time graphs. They're really neat because the slope of the line... It directly tells you the velocity, steeper slope, faster speed.
Okay, that's a solid foundation. So we can map where something is, how fast it's going. But things move in different ways, right? Like steady versus speeding up.
Good point. We definitely need to distinguish those. There's uniform rectilinear motion.
Okay.
Think of a car on cruise control on a perfectly straight highway. Constant velocity. Simple enough?
Right. Steady speed, straight line.
But then, you know, things get more interesting with... uniformly accelerated rectilinear motion.
Ah, like putting your foot down on the gas pedal.
Precisely. Or hitting the brakes. The velocity changes, but it changes at a steady rate. That's where average acceleration comes in. It measures how quickly velocity changes.
And the signs matter here too, I bet, like positive and negative.
Oh, absolutely crucial. The sign of velocity tells you direction, forward or back. And the sign of acceleration tells you if it's speeding up or slowing down in that direction. They work together.
Okay.
And another great visual tool here is the velocity time graph. The slope on this graph actually shows you the acceleration directly.
So two different graphs giving different but related information.
Exactly. They really help unpack the how.
All right. So if we've mapped out how things move straight, accelerating, whatever the big question, the really deep one, is why? What makes them move or change direction?
Ah, now we get to the forces. Forces are the why. They're the push or pull that causes any change in motion.
The invisible strings.
Sort of, yeah. Think about the force of weight. That's just gravity pulling on an object's mass. Keeps our feet on the ground.
Simple but essential. What else?
Well, there are Hooke's forces. They deal with elasticity, like in springs or rubber bands.
Oh, wow.
They depend on the spring's stiffness, its elastic constant, and how much you stretch or squash it from its rest length. Your car's suspension, a trampoline.
Hmm.
That's Hooke's law at work.
And friction. We can't forget friction. It seems simple, but it's everywhere.
It really is. And it's often misunderstood. Friction usually opposes motion, but we need it to walk or drive.
True.
We talk about dynamic friction forces. That's when things are already sliding.
Like pushing a box across the floor.
Exactly. And static friction forces, which is the force you have to overcome to start it moving, it's usually stronger.
Ah, that initial push is always the hardest.
Right. And each type has its own coefficient of dynamic friction and coefficient of static friction. They depend on the surfaces, telling you how grippy they are.
Makes sense. Are there other forces we need to think about?
Definitely. We also consider normal reaction forces. That sounds technical, but it's just the support force, like a table pushing up on a book, or the tension in a string holding a weight, or just the surface you're standing on holding you up.
So the force that stops things from falling through other things.
Basically, yes. It's an interaction force.
Okay. It really feels like all these ideas, motion, forces, they need a common language to describe them properly, especially with direction being so important.
You've hit on a key point. That language is vector quantities.
Vectors, right. Magnitude and direction.
Exactly. Velocity is a vector, force is a vector. Saying 10 meters per second isn't enough. You need 10 meters per second east.
And understanding how vectors change.
Crucial. Calculating the difference between two vectors lets us figure out changes. If a car turns a corner, its speed might stay the same, but its velocity changes because the direction changed.
Ah, and that change in velocity vector means there must have been an acceleration.
And therefore a force.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It all connects as how we quantify these dynamic changes.
So thinking about all this, maybe you, listening, can start to see it too. Mm-hmm. Look at anything around you, a swinging door, a ball rolling, even stirring your coffee. Can you spot these ideas? Displacement, velocity, acceleration, all these forces.
Weight, friction, maybe tension. They're constantly at play, aren't they? Orchestrating everything.
It really changes how you see everyday actions. Now that you've had this glimpse into the building blocks of dynamics, what really stands out to you about the way the world moves?